Get up-to-the-minute news and more. Join the Superhuman Radio listener mail list. Go to superhumanradio.com and join.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great lineup for you today. We're going to start out talking about whether or not tobacco companies have an interest in public health and what they do to perpetuate the mixed messages out there about tobacco products. Then we're going to change it up. We're going to be talking about a Senate bill called Senate Bill 959, which is being voted on here very shortly, that would give the FDA control over compounding pharmacies, but more importantly, give them control over bioidentical hormones. And then lastly, we're going to finish it up talking about, is a sin tax really a good thing? Raising taxes on tobacco, booze, and other products that have some sort of risky behavior associated with it, effective? And if so, what it does? We're going to start out first talking about tobacco companies with Dr. Stanton Glantz. How you doing, Dr. Glantz?
Oh, I'm just fine.
That's good. Okay, so this is an interesting topic because it seems very intuitive to me, but it seems like you had to, you and your colleagues had to write a paper to expose perhaps some tactics by the tobacco industries designed to influence ultimately the Food and Drug Administration and the Institute of Medicine's report on whether or not tobacco is bad for us. Is that right?
Well, that's not quite accurate. I mean, there's no question that, at least by authorities at the FDA, that tobacco is a bad thing. What was happening was in the 1990s, the FDA attempted to regulate cigarettes as a drug delivery device, which they are. They deliver a metered dose of nicotine. And eventually, the Supreme Court, on a 5-4 vote, struck down the authority of the FDA to do that.
How foolish.
Well, of course, it was it's a very pro-corporate court. But along the way, the whole issue of how to scientifically address claims by the cigarette companies that they were making products that were less dangerous need came up. And so the Food and Drug Administration commissioned the Institute of Medicine, which is part of the National Academy of Sciences, to come up with a report recommending how they regulate tobacco products if they ever got the authority to do it. And the report itself, which the IOM issued, called Clearing the Air, was quite influential in that it affected some of the provisions in the a law Congress eventually passed in 2009 called the Family Smoking Prevention and Tobacco Control Act, which did give the FDA authority to regulate tobacco products. And what we were able to document, because we now have access to about 83 million pages of previously secret tobacco industry documents, was how the industry interacted with the Institute of Medicine in an effort to influence the outcome of the report. And what we found, I mean, there was no frank corruption, as has been found in some other cases. Nobody on the IOM committee was on the take, and the industry didn't have a mole buried inside, which they have had in other cases. But it showed that the tobacco companies, rather than viewing the interactions with the Institute of Medicine committee as a scientific enterprise, really treated it more as an adversarial proceeding and we're able, I think, by selectively giving information to the IOM to subtly influence the outcome of the report, and in particular, the creation, saying that, that some tobacco products were essentially no worse than others and so should be essentially grandfathered in to any regulation. And that provision did get written into the law, and it's creating great problems for the FDA right now.
Well, you know, okay, it seems to me that going to the crack dealers and asking them why crack should continue to be available on the streets is not the way that regulatory organizations should operate. I understand that this is a big industry, tobacco, so they have to have some sort of say in some things. But the IOM asking the tobacco industry for information probably realized that, look, they're going to give us what they want to give us, and it's going to be designed to skew our opinions in certain directions. Don't you think that would have been the logical feelings that someone should have in that kind of a relationship?
Well, if you talk to people on the committee, several of whom are friends of mine, you know, they can't discuss the committee's deliberations, but yeah, some of them are quite angry actually about the paper we wrote that showed it simply documents how the industry was trying to influence them. And they're saying, well, of course we knew we were talking to these guys and that you can't trust them and all of that. But the fact is that the way the report came out in the end was quite, the tobacco companies were quite happy with it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the committee members particularly had the goal of making the companies happy. But the discourse that took place, the companies were able by, you know, they had a very large team, not just of scientists, but of lawyers and executives and PR people working on everything they put in front of this committee. I think that they were able to influence the outcome. Again, it wasn't anything in the back room, but it was very successful. And, you know, I agree with the statement you made earlier about, you know, the companies really, they're out there selling an addictive drug and killing people, and they really shouldn't be treated as part of the process.
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a global treaty on tobacco control called the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, which has been ratified by 174 countries around the world. The United States is one of the few countries that hasn't ratified it. And there is a provision in the Framework Convention called Article 5.3, which essentially says the tobacco industry's interests are antithetical to public health, and should not be allowed inside the process of public health policy making. Now that contrasts starkly with the way Congress wrote the FDA law. There is a scientific advisory committee specified in the law to advise the FDA on issues around tobacco regulation, and by law it has three non-voting representatives of the tobacco industry on the committee. And this is something that just drives the public health community crazy.
And I can see why.
It's obscene, especially given that the Department of Justice spent 10 years in court suing the major cigarette companies under the Racketeer-Influenced Corrupt Organizations Act, the RICO law.
RICO Act,
which is designed to pursue organized crime, and won.
The tobacco industry is an example of the best organized crime organization ever, because they kill people, they do it out in broad open, they see no ramifications per se, they're able to continue to operate. I mean, it's amazing. That's so smart that they did that.
Yeah, no, and they were, you know, the government alleged, and the courts agreed, and this went through the whole appeal process, that the big cigarette companies, Philip Morris, Reynolds, and the others, formed what is, under the law, called an illegal enterprise for the purpose of defrauding the public and enriching themselves. And the most important element of the RICO ruling was not only did they do this in the past, but they were continuing to do
right.
it and likely to continue to do it in the future. And so on one hand, we have the federal government having established that the tobacco companies are fraudsters, and yet they are treated under the FDA law and by the FDA as what the FDA calls stakeholders in tobacco product regulation.
Well, of course they're stakeholders. They stand to lose their industry
well, that's
of
true.
Mass of mass murder.
That's true. And you know, the companies, I think, have every right as citizens, even as racketeering citizens, to provide information to the FDA and to, you know, participate in the process the way anyone else would. But the fact that they are by law on the advisory committee to the FDA gives them a special standing, which is just, I mean, I think it's against international law.
But it's so typical of the United States. It's sad to say, when it comes to protecting its people, the United States gets an F. When we look at other countries and the things that they do to protect their citizens, in this kind of an instance where you have industry that is obviously not looking out for the best interests of the people, these other countries step in and they say, no good. You know, we're not gonna let that happen. But here in the United States, profits always wins out when it comes to public health. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up talking with Dr. Stanton Glantz. He's with the Center for Tobacco Control Research and Education, Department of Medicine at the University of California in beautiful San Francisco. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
All the Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Wherever you call your battlefield, after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete all-natural and organic recovery formula, AM Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors. No GMOs. Less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, AM Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
AM Nutrition. Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The advanced 7 keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the Superhuman Nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
new from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, lifting more, it's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just a reminder, the Superhuman Radio website is the only place you can get the free 30-day trial for the AgeForce Fat Burner Patch, which includes 7-Keto DHEA and thyroid hormone that is available over-the-counter called T2. Go to superhumanradio.com and get your free 30-day supply. What do you have to lose except some body fat? Okay. We're talking with Dr. Stanton Glantz. We're talking about tobacco companies, really. What I'd like to pick up with now, Dr. Glantz, is this whole RICO racketeering situation. So what happened to the what happened to the tobacco companies as a result of the U.S. government winning that case against them?
Well, the short answer is not a lot yet, because the tobacco companies have nothing if not lawyers. Although there have been a couple of important developments, the first to happen is that the tobacco companies are no longer allowed to coordinate their scientific and political activities to undermine tobacco control, or at least certain tobacco control things. So the industry's lobbying group, the Tobacco Institute, had to be dissolved. The companies are prohibited from claiming that smoking doesn't cause cancer or that nicotine isn't addictive. The companies have been blocked from certain marketing strategies, and they're under continuing supervision by the court. The court has also ordered them to publish what are called corrective statements, and that is to run advertisements in all major media for several months and up to 2 years, basically informing the public that they've been lying to them for 50 years. That remedy has been upheld by the courts, the general remedy. Now they're fighting over the specific wording of these corrective statements. Also, the companies are required to disclose millions of pages of internal correspondence to the public, and in fact, it's those documents that we use to write the paper that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
So the courts have somewhat restrained the company's activities. The one big thing the government lost is they wanted billions of dollars in essentially restitution. And the Court of Appeals, wouldn't allow the judge to do that. So, I think the most important thing to come out of the RICO case is that the tobacco companies are identified as racketeers, as crooks. And I think to the extent that the public and public policymakers are forced to confront that reality, it will reduce their political power. And the whole reason that we have these strange provisions in the FDA law that tobacco continues to be a health problem at all is because politicians are willing to bend to the will of these very rich corporations.
Oh, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, we see this in everything today. As it relates to, there's so many areas now that it's so clear that the politicians are just clearly corrupt, because they wouldn't be allowing certain things to happen like this, like tobacco products. I mean, we know it's no good. It shouldn't even be available in the way it's being sold today. But the only reason why we can't do anything about it is because these tobacco companies, they help politicians get their office, get into office to perpetuate their messages and so on and so forth. So it's industry and government. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we learned about the separation of church and state, you know, but church was an industry at one point in time. Today, it needs to be a separation of industry and government. How we facilitate that, I don't understand. That's like separating two Siamese twins with one heart. But, you know, it has to happen eventually, because this profits always win out over health and over people's lives when politicians get to vote on stuff. It's just sad.
Well, I think that that is true many, many, many times, depressingly many times. But it's not true all the time. I mean, for example, Senator Lautenberg from New Jersey, who recently died, got smoking off of airplanes. And, you know, while it didn't end tobacco use, it certainly contributed, and it certainly made it possible to fly without being poisoned. And my experience has been that if you get down to the community level, to the city council and the county council levels, there the politicians are a lot more interested in what their constituents think.
Right.
And when people have gotten organized to do things like pass smoke-free laws or other kinds of restrictions on the tobacco companies, that by and large they've been successful. I mean, over half of the population in the United States now lives under 100% smoke-free laws.
Right.
And that's largely because, you know, that the seamier side of politics can be overcome. It's not easy. And the tobacco companies certainly are very aggressive and very resourceful, but they're not invincible.
Well, with that, with
it
that
really comes down to people having the courage to stand up to them.
With that being said, do you think that there will be become a time in the future where we will not see tobacco industry anymore? Do you think that this? I mean, you mentioned off the air to me that there is a drop in the number of new smokers. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, we know we could. If we wanted to be rid of the tobacco epidemic in a few years. I mean, here in California, the smoking rate is under 12%, and over a third of smokers aren't even smoking every day. Another third are only smoking 5 cigarettes a day or less. And so if the state of California were to reinvigorate its existing anti-smoking program by putting a little more money into it and being a bit more aggressive, I think we could essentially eliminate tobacco as a public health problem in under 5 years. New Zealand, where I was just visiting about a month ago, has a government policy to be smoke-free by 2025. Finland has also adopted a formal governmental goal of being rid of tobacco. And so, you know, those are things that even a few years ago would have been viewed as ridiculous. And we know how to do it. We passage and enforcement of strong clean indoor air laws, aggressive media campaigns educating people about just how devious the tobacco companies are so that people just won't want to buy their products, raising the taxes on cigarettes and other tobacco products. And organizations stop taking their money. All are things that could, you know, have been shown to work and work very, very quickly. So we know how to get rid of the tobacco epidemic, and work that we've done has shown that when you put these policies in place, not only do you have big benefits of health very quickly, but you also see almost immediate drops in emergency room visits, and you see healthcare costs coming down.
You know, it's funny. I have two children that live in San Diego, and they're going to college. And my son, a couple years ago, he started to casually smoke cigarettes. And I was out there, and I was visiting him, and I said, I said, would you buy a, I said, if that house across the street was available, for a really good price, but it was loaded with asbestos in and out, would you buy it? And he said, no. And I said, why not? He says, because asbestos will kill you. I said, yeah, but it kills you over years. It takes a long, long time to kill you. And he said, yeah, but I wouldn't want to live in a house that I knew was going to kill me. And then I looked at him. I said, then why are you smoking? And he stopped smoking the next day. I said, well, cigarettes do the same thing to you. They just do it slowly. It's, and so if you're too smart to buy that house at a really, really good price because it's going to kill you, why are you smoking cigarettes?
So, well, that's exactly right. And but, you know, people are beginning to understand that. It's just that, you know, the fact is, like, here in California, we've had a tremendously successful tobacco control program. We've gone down to the second lowest rate in the country to where most people are very light smokers, and we're within spitting distance of essentially eliminating tobacco use. And you see it in lower health care costs, less disease, better lives, and that's all great. But if you look at this from the point of view of the tobacco companies, we have cost them hundreds of billions of dollars in lost sales.
Good.
And they don't like that, and they fight very, very, very hard. I mean, here in California, for example, the Speaker of the California Assembly, Assemblyman Perez, is widely viewed as just a toady for the tobacco companies. And there have been 33 attempts, we're on our 34th right now, to raise the cigarette tax in California in the last 20 years, and the tobacco companies have managed to block it in the legislature all that time. Now, there's another effort underway right now. Perez is widely viewed as, you know, looking out for the tobacco interest rather than the public interest, and we'll
see how it goes.
We'll just see what happens. We'll see if things have changed.
Real quick, we have about a minute and a half left in the interview. You have a book called Bad Acts. Talk about that real quick.
Well, Bad Acts is a book Sharon Eubanks and I wrote. She was the lawyer who won the racketeering case against the industry. And it is it's the legal and political history of this case. And it's behind the scenes how the case was brought. How when George Bush came in, they tried to kill the case. How when it looked like there was going to be a clean win by the government, the Bush administration came in and leaned on the career prosecutors in the Department of Justice to force them to pull back what they were asking for. But in the end, as I said, in the main elements of the case, the government won, and it's a story of some dedicated public servants standing up to not only the tobacco companies, but incredible political pressure from their political buddies.
Yeah. And the book is available anywhere good books are sold, I take it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not Harry Potter. People might have to order it. And it's certainly available online. It's called Bad Acts. And the reason it's called Bad Acts is because the racketeering law is designed to prevent bad acts.
Right.
So that's actually a legal term.
Okay. All right. Listen, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. It's important work. And maybe someday before I pass away, we'll see the tobacco industry go under. I would like to see that happen. I really, really would. Because they are at the root of many, many shortened lives. And
absolutely. I don't understand how anyone can live from them.
Yeah.
Or rather work for them. I mean, you just have to have a complete moral blind spot.
All right. Listen, Dr. Glantz, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Okay. All right. So stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Dr. Stephen Hotze. And we're going to talk about Senate Bill 959 and what it threatens. If you are on bioidentical hormones or hormone replacement therapy in general, you're going to want to listen to this next segment. Stay tuned.
Power Block. Rock dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay, like I said going into the break, if you're on hormone replacement therapy, you really want to listen to this next interview. We're being joined by Dr. Stephen Hotze, which I believe you're in Washington, D.C. right now. Is that correct, Dr. Hotze?
Yes, sir, I am. I'm in D.C. I'm in Congressman Steve Stockman's office.
Are you there because of what's going on with S-959?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I've come up here to lead the battle to defeat this terrible FDA power grab bill, which is Senate Bill 959, which would absolutely destroy compounding pharmacy. And for those of you that aren't aware what compounding pharmacy is where you get your bioidentical hormones.
Right.
And they're in the compounding pharmacy, take bulk ingredients based on a prescription given to a patient by a doctor, will make up the bioidentical hormones for the patient. And many women in America, millions of women, as a matter of fact, use bioidentical hormones, natural estrogen, natural progesterone, natural thyroid, natural adrenal hormones, natural testosterone to restore their health. Because as we age, Carl, our as we age, inevitably our hormone levels decline, and that leads to a host of health problems.
Well, you're talking to an audience that is very, very in sync with hormone replacement therapy, including myself. I've been on since 2007, and my life changed at that point in time. So we understand the importance of HRT. So what I guess is a first question is, who is sponsoring this bill?
Okay, this bill was the sponsor in the bill is Senator Roberts from Kansas, Senator Harkins from Iowa, and Senator Alexander from Tennessee. Now, let me explain. This bill is the FDA power grab bill. This is what I've named it. Senate Bill 959 is the FDA power grab bill, and it's the largest expansion of the FDA power in decades, and it would give them complete control over compounding pharmacy, which they hate, which they try to destroy because they're in the pocket of Big Pharma. Big Pharma doesn't want competition from natural bioidentical hormone therapy. It doesn't want that. And these senators are introduced this bill as a reaction and a response to incidents that occurred in a New England compounding center.
Right. One incident. And that's what I was getting at. This is the knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
To one incident. We have large pharmaceutical companies who have injured and killed people because of mistakes that they've made on widespread levels over the past decades. The one that comes to mind right away is Digoxin. The heart medication that's made from foxglove. These large pharmaceutical companies.
Well, go back to Vioxx.
Oh, and Vioxx.
Vioxx is an anti-inflammatory drug that causes heart attacks. They took it off the market. Did you know all the NSAID drugs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, you look at the side effects and it increases the risk of heart attack.
Right. And the point here is that Big Pharma never gets punished when they kill people, but this one compounding pharmacy incident has launched this widespread bill, which wants to give power to the FDA that admittedly says they don't have the resources to do the job they're doing now.
Well, as a matter of fact, the FDA, and let me go back on your comments about drug companies and people dying. This is a fact, folks, and it was published in the Journal of American Medical Association in 2000, I think it was a 2002 edition. They did a study on deaths in hospitals. Guess what? There are 100,000 people that die in the hospital every year from doctor-prescribed FDA approved drugs given in the correct dose. They're killed by the drugs. The drugs literally kill them, 100,000. That's like three or four big Boeing jets full of people crashing every day. Why isn't there a congressional hearing about that? What about the antidepressants and the terrible side effects that those things cause and the addiction it causes and the suicide and the homicide those drugs cause? Why aren't the drug companies held culpable for that? Why hasn't Congress investigated that? Because Big Pharma has got big money. It's all about money, and they fund these congressmen and their campaigns, and then you may know this, Carl, but I doubt anybody in your audience does. Do you know that the FDA receives 25% to 30% of its income from pharmaceutical companies?
Oh, sure. Sure.
The pharmaceutical companies passed a bill in 1992 called the Prescription User Drug Fee Act, PDUFA, and it was an agreement between Big Pharma and the FDA. If Big Pharma said, if you will improve the approval of our drugs and increase the number of drugs and go through the approval process faster, then we will give you a percent of the income. That amounts to 25 to 30% of the income the FDA receives, which is almost $400 million from drug companies. So who do you think they're going to be listening to?
That's their client. That we've said it on the show. The FDA's clients are not the American people that they're tasked with protecting. It's the people that they get their money from. I've said this
exactly.
Before.
Do you think
police officers would be in a hurry to put crack dealers out of business if they got the money that they made payroll with from crack sales? Of course not. They would put themselves out of jobs.
Right. You're exactly right. So. But what this bill does now, it dramatically expands the power of the FDA over compounding pharmacists, which are all regulated by state pharmacies. And by the way, this pharmacy up there was a rogue pharmacy. It was really a manufacturer. In a compounded preparation or medication, there has to be a doctor, a patient, and a pharmacist. This pharmacy was making bulk drugs.
Right. If any,
and then we're just shipping them to surgery centers and hospitals.
If anything, they were a small scale pharmaceutical company. They were not a compounding pharmacy.
Exactly.
And the FDA,
I came up here to the hearings in November, in the House and Senate hearings on this issue, and the FDA admitted that in 2007, 2008, 2009, they had gone, visited the pharmacy, they wrote and written them letters, and they told them that they were going to shut them down, give them warning letters, and they never did. The Massachusetts Board of Pharmacy had done the same thing for years. All of them had the authority to shut them down because they were a rogue pharmacy.
Okay.
And they were violating the law. And they didn't do it.
Okay, so here's what we need to, because before we go into this break, so S-959 is being voted on when?
Well, right now, it was going to be voted on within 2 weeks. Now it's going to be voted on apparently right after July the 4th, and we need to build. That gives us time to build ahead of steam by contacting Congress. I want to tell your folks what to do to learn about this bill and how they can contact their senators. It's really easy. We have a website, and the website is Meds Matter. MY Meds, MEDS is in medicine. My Meds Matter. MATTER.com. If you go to that, you can click on. If you're a patient, you can click on. It brings up a letter, and you put in your address, and it'll tell who your congressman is, and it'll send that right to them right away. The email, and then once you do that, you get an email back, and they'll tell you what their phone number is, and you can call them. And all we want you to do is tell them, vote no, oppose Senate Bill 959. It's a bad bill. We don't need to expand the FDA's power. It's incompetent. It's proven itself incompetent to do what it was supposed to do. Why would we give it more power?
Right. Exactly. That's my point. And they've admitted every time the FDA gets called on the carpet for, look, the FDA, I've said it before, is either corrupt or incompetent, and neither of those are acceptable for an organization tasked with the duties that the FDA is supposed to have. With that being said, every time the FDA is called in front of Congress to defend themselves in things like the Vioxx scandal and so on, they always cry, well, we don't have enough funding to do our job. Think about this. If you had a guy, your landscaper keeps forgetting to mow your lawn, and when you call him up, he says, I don't have the money to buy gas. But by the way, could you tell your neighbors that I'd like to mow their lawn too? Wait a minute. You can't even mow my lawn. You want to mow their lawn? What are you doing here? This is nonsense. This is nonsense. And people need to step up, Dr. Hotze. We have to take a break. When we come back.
Okay, when you come back, I want to talk more about that. I want to talk about the revolving door between FDA and the pharmaceutical industry.
Okay. Okay, let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break. In the meantime, during the commercial break, go to mymedsmatter.com. I'm there right now. And then if you, the very, very first link at the top says bioidentical hormone replacement patients take action. Click that and follow the directions, and you can let your representative know that you want them to vote no on Senate Bill 959. This is really, really important. Anybody who's on HRT right now, take action or they may take it away. We'll be right back. Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the
the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Hasse. We're talking about Senate Bill 959. You can go to a website that is MyMeds, MyMedsMatter.com, and let your representative know that you are not in favor of this bill. Regardless of whether or not you think the FDA is corrupt, inept, incapable, underfunded, there is no reason for them to take this kind of draconian measure on an industry that has operated since the beginning of time, folks. You know, apothecaries, compounding pharmacists have been around forever. We don't need them involved in this process. So, Dr. Hotze, you wanted to talk about the revolving door. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We talked earlier in the program about how Big Pharma pays the FDA 25 to 30% of its revenues from prescription drug user fees. That there was a law that was passed in 92. So about $400 million of the income to the FDA comes from Big Pharma. So they're going to be beholden to them. Well, here's the other way they get beholden to them. Guess where many of the people that work in governmental affairs for the drug companies, guess where they come from?
Oh, sure.
They come from their former FDA employees.
I mean, look at, and not only that, politicians, Tom Vilsack.
Yeah, politicians.
I mean, the FDA is known as the non-money side of the table. So what they do is they work at the FDA, they pay their dues by protecting somebody,
nice
and then they get a job for $500,000 a year when they leave the FDA.
Right. So this is what happened. The older guy leaves, he goes to work for the drug company. The younger guy who was working with the older guy at the FDA sees where he goes, and the older guy comes back and says, come out and see the club I'm in, my new house, my new car. I'm working for Pfizer, I'm working for Abbott, I'm working for one of the drug companies, and look how well I'm doing. if you're really good, you know, they're always looking for good people. She's sending a signal. Be good to us and something's going to come your way down the road. So they pay their dues, their internship at the FDA, and then, you know, then they go. They have to wait a year before they can go for the drug company. So oftentimes they go to work for a marketing company that markets for the drug companies, and they go to the drug companies. I'll tell you, Billy Tawson, who is I think he's still head of Big Pharma, was a congressman here, and he pushed through the bill on pharmaceutical drugs that said that the government didn't have to get competitive prices on it, and you couldn't get any drugs from out of the country. And he passed that through, and as a payoff, they made him president of Big Pharma.
Yeah.
He got paid well over $1 million a year to do that.
It's a dirty deal. So are you hopeful? Are you are you getting some traction up there?
Yes. Let me tell you what. Here's what we're doing. I'm from Texas. The Texas delegation has 28 Republicans. It's got the largest Republican delegation in the state. I happen to be a conservative Republican. I know all these guys have been active in politics for 35 years. I've already met with 16 of them. 16 of them in the last 3 days, plus I met with Senator Ted Cruz. I'm meeting with Senator John Cornyn today. The Texas delegation is firmly opposed to this. They're going to draft a letter and send it to Boehner, who's the speaker, and to Cantor, who's the majority leader, and tell them we do not want this bill in the House. We don't want the Senate to send it. The Senate has attached this. This is how it works in politics. They attached this pharmacy bill to another bill called Track and Trace, I'm not familiar very much with the bill, but it's somewhere it tracks the pedigree of these drugs where they come from. And apparently the industry wants that bill because of California passed one and they want one standard law nationwide. Well, they knew this has a good chance of passing Track and Trace. So in the Senate, they hooked the compounding bill onto it. Then the House passed the Track and Trace. It's already going to the Senate. If the Senate passes this, it goes to committee. They throw out the House bill, and then they send this bill around the committee. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to go through the committee. It goes straight to the House floor. So we don't want this bill attached to Track and Trace. We want it separate, and that's what we're going to tell. That's what the Texas delegation is going to write a letter and give it. I've already talked to the guys this morning. They came up with the ideas. The congressman said, we'll just draft a letter, send it to Boehner, saying if Track and Trace comes over, we're not going to let it have the compounding bill on it. If compounding bill comes over from the Senate, it's got to go through a committee process. We can kill it here in the House. For sure we can kill it, but my goal is to kill it in the Senate. And that's why I want all your listeners to get on the phone and call their United States senators. You have two of them. If you don't know who they are, just Google U.S. Senator from whatever state you have, and they'll give you their names and phone numbers and call them up and say, don't vote no on this bill.
Okay.
I don't want anybody to take away my bioidentical hormones or my compounded preparation. Or go to Mind Meds Matter and send an email, Mind Meds Matter. I'm going to be fighting for this. Look, I'm the CEO of a large health and wellness center in Houston. What's the health and wellness center? We have 92 on staff. All I do is promote and protect natural approaches to health. So I'm up here fighting. We're fighting with the Alliance for Natural Health. I don't know if you know Gretchen Dubow.
No.
And Daryl Rogers with the Alliance for Natural Health. They're wonderful. They're fighting this. So,
One question for you, Dr. Hotze, because we've done this before. When you call your representative's office, you never get them on the phone. They're busy. So is it adequate just to tell the person answers the phone?
Whoever answers the phone. Will you please give a message to Senator so-and-so, or if you're calling your congressman, Congressman so-and-so. I am, you know, Steve Hotze from Houston, Texas, and he's my senator, and I want you to tell him I oppose Senate Bill 959, and I want him to oppose it. It's a bad bill. It takes away, it gives the FDA too much authority, and I don't want them to have that authority because they've taken away my hormones. I'll guarantee you, if this passes, the FDA will ban and eliminate bioidentical hormones. That's in the bill that will happen because you can't make a variation of a drug, and they'll say bioidentical hormones are variations of Premarin. You can't use it. And I promise you that's going to happen because they hate compounding. I filed a suit against the FDA in 2004 in federal district court. We won in the Fifth Circuit in 2011. The FDA was telling us in court, now this is going to make this shock you, they said all compounded medications, including bioidentical hormones, are illegal. That's what they said. But we use discretionary enforcement. So all of you that take biologically identical hormones, guess what? The FDA says it's illegal. It's like taking cocaine. It's illegal. But we're only going to use discretionary enforcement. That's what big government does. We pick and choose the winners and losers. That's just wrong. And
it's scary.
We, we won that case in the Fifth Circuit. So in Texas and in Louisiana and Mississippi, that's not the case. The judge said compounded preparations are not new drugs, and they do not have to go through the drug approval process. So we're clear there, but the rest of the country is not. That's why the FDA wants to pass this bill, because it overturns that law.
Okay.
That
we're coming to the end of the interview. I just want to plug a couple things here for you, Dr. Hotze. First of all, you have a radio show in Texas. For my listeners that are in Texas, talk about your radio show real quick.
Well, you can listen to it on net. Go to KSEV. What is it? KSEV.com.
Okay.
KSEV.com, or go to my website, and you can listen to it anywhere in the country. I come on between 1 and 2 Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
12 and 1 Central Standard Time. So, and you go to that website. Go to my website, HOTZEHWC.com, and you can click on the microphone, and it'll come on.
Okay.
And we have podcasts there. And we talk, it's called Health and Wellness Solutions.
And we're going to have you back on the show because you're just about to release a book on hypothyroidism, and we have a lot of listeners who want to know more about hypothyroidism, okay?
Right. Listen, the radio station is KSEVradio.com.
Okay.
And I'm getting ready to go on my program in just a minute.
I know. And for those of you out there, it's HOTZEHWC, right? Health and Wellness
yes,
Clinic.
Sir.
Okay.
Right.
.com. So you can just go there and find all the information.
I need to get you on my radio program.
I would love to do it.
I'm glad to meet you.
Yeah.
I thank God for you that you got the courage and determination to stand up against big government and to stand up against big pharma and support natural approaches to health.
Oh yeah.
That's what you have to do, and I admire you.
Thank you so much. That's very thoughtful of you to say. And listen, keep fighting the good fight up there in D.C. Okay.
I'll be there, and I'll keep you posted, Carl.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Hey,
Hotze.
Carl, I want you to make sure I get your email and your mobile number. So
I will send it to your assistant after the show today. How's that sound?
And then we can talk.
All right, thank you, Dr. Hotze. Okay. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking about sin taxes. Do they really work? Taxes on booze and cigarettes and all that sort of stuff. Does it really help anything other than giving the government more money to use elsewhere? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. No matter which way you stay, out of
you push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinus Stain RX, Eco Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on Superhuman Radio. supersupermanradio.com for a free brochure.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Okay. So, do sin taxes work? If we raise taxes or place taxes on things like cigarette smoking and booze and sugary products and high-fat foods, does this have any impact? And to further that discussion, we're joined by Dr. Michael Joyner. How are you, Dr. Joyner?
Couldn't be better, Carl.
And Dr. Joyner has a website that I want to tell all of you you should visit. I'm there now. If you Google human limits, it'll come right up. It's Dr. Michael Joyner, joyner.com. But Dr. Joyner is really in sync with the message of this show, expanding the limits of human beings. And he writes a lot about exercise and aging and mitochondrial aging. And so it's a really great website. I was just checking it out just now. But getting back to the subject at hand. So why were you writing about sin taxes, first of all? Is it because of all this that's going on in New York about sugary drinks and Mexico and all that sort of stuff? Or,
well, Carl, there were about three or four motivations. First is just this general interest in public health. Second was this idea that there are these costs, these social costs associated with some of these behaviors that we all pay for, and perhaps we should ask the people who are doing the behaviors to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
And then third, if you look at it historically, these have been ways that governments have raised revenue, and we know that, you know, the country either needs to spend less or generate more revenue over time. Or perhaps both. And so I think it's kind of a threefer. You can improve people's health, you can hold people accountable or improve their accountability, and you might actually be able to do things that help the budget along the way.
Well, and I'm really with the whole concept of personal responsibility. I mean, I started talking several years ago. I'd love to see airlines start charging by the pound the way they do for shipping packages. For shipping people, so you step on a big scale. What's that?
I had about a couple months ago. I was sitting next to a very large man on the airlines, and I posted a blog about it. And there has been some talk about this, or at least charging really large people for two seats and so forth. And I got a big response from that because many people who've traveled have had that experience.
Well, I think it's a good thing, but the problem with governments is, when they collect more money, they don't always use it for the intended purpose.
Yeah, that's been one of the issues, for example, with the tobacco taxes. So there was this big master agreement, the big lawsuit, you know, 5-10 years ago, whenever it was now, and the master tobacco settlement, and that money was supposed to be put into smoking prevention, in specific in smoking cessation and also education and other health-related measures. But as dollars got tight from other sources, the trust fund was raided by various states.
And I actually interviewed...
And that's been a bit of a problem.
I interviewed a scientist, an economist, I'm sorry, probably over a year ago. I want to say either from Washington State or California.
Right.
We talked about this, you know, the money that's being put aside, tax dollars that are being collected for tobacco products. Some portion of that is supposed to go into advertising to get the message out that tobacco products are no good for you. But it's not happening because local governments get some of that money. And they go, you know, we really need to repave the 405, and that's more important.
Yeah, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Exactly, right.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's been a problem. And I think that you know, you can argue that reflects, you know, a lack of foresight by the political people. Or you could also argue, Carl, that, you know, when funds are tight, people look under every rock to see what can be redirected. You know, so I have some sympathy both ways, but I would prefer to see this money used for its intended purposes. And that would be especially true if we start to do things like sugar and fat taxes, in an effort to both improve public health, do something about the obesity/diabetes epidemic, and then also just get people to become more physically active and eat a little bit better. For example, takes any monies that might be generated from such taxes and build more playgrounds and green spaces. Make it easier for people in all neighborhoods to go out and be physically active.
And I'm with you on that. I'm not completely committed to the fat tax because we know now more about fat and that it's not the culprit. You know, eating fat doesn't necessarily get fat, but a sugar tax. I'm with you on that. That is
like
100%.
Fats all fats are not equal. You
right.
know, there are actually some very healthy fats. I mean, I just put a scoop of flaxseed in my milk for lunch, you know, because there's very many healthy fats in flaxseed.
There you go.
Example. But yeah, the sugar tax for sure. And I think when you think about the fat tax, you know, you could probably organize that in some way that would target portion size, for example, at fast food restaurants, where it's possible for people to go in for a very limited amount of money and get a couple thousand calories and then be kind of off to the races or maybe off to the couch.
But here's the challenge. You know, you're just applying some critical thinking here. So the reason that we want these are high-risk behaviors is because of the burden they place on the health care process.
And right. Healthcare to some extent. When you get to alcohol taxes, you know, you've got public safety and other things. But ultimately, you know, people get in car wrecks and end up in the emergency room and so forth.
Right. And interestingly enough, in preparation for the show, Amit Ram, who lives in Israel, posted on my Facebook wall this morning that Israel just put a tax on cheap liquor, but made it cheaper to buy good liquor. And he said that everybody there is confused. And I said, well, maybe it's because the indiscriminate buyer, who is the... You know, the alcoholic. I grew up in Brooklyn, you know, the Bowery bum. He's buying a $2.50 bottle of MD 2020 because he doesn't care about how good it is and how it tastes. He just wants to get drunk. So maybe they're the ones that are burdening the system more.
Well, and that's quite interesting because if you look at certainly alcohol taxes and cigarette taxes, and people think this would also apply to, for example, sugar taxes, is the people who are most susceptible to changing their behavior with taxation are kids. They don't have a lot of disposable income, so on and so forth. So it's been shown if you raise cigarette taxes or make them less available, you really reduce the number of 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old kids who start smoking, and there's a window of vulnerability, and that's when people get addicted. So the idea would be if you made, quote, junk food, unquote, more expensive, you might reduce consumption in those age groups. People get, you know, less habituated to eating this stuff.
And interesting.
Then, they're doing better when they're 25 or 30 and they haven't gained 20 pounds.
So the threshold of access is age-related because of access to money.
Access to money. And there's also some evidence, too, if you look at, again, if you look at some more recent data, as education and income go up, people are much less likely to be obese, much less likely to smoke, much less likely to do all sorts of things. And you probably also... affect people of lower income more. Now, you can argue it's unfair because this isn't a means-tested tax, so on and so forth. But you could also argue that those individuals would be most susceptible to behavior change, and those are people that need to have their behavior
change more so. Right, yeah, that does make perfect sense.
And again, this gets back to this kind of personal responsibility argument. And when people hear this, they say, well, you know, you're for the nanny state and all this other stuff. And just to kind of preempt that kind of thinking, the social cost of these various activities, smoking, drinking, poor eating, far outstrips any type of tax that I'm proposing or we're proposing be levied against these products. And so we're not even talking about recouping the total cost of the behaviors.
But what if the taxes are levied and we don't see a linear reduction in the social costs? So now we're still paying the social costs, but now we're paying an additional tax on top of it.
There's a two part kind of answer to that, Carl. The first part is if you look at the cigarette data, when things happen, either prices go up or you can't get it out of any machines, or they restrict smoking in bars and restaurants, so forth and so on. When those things happen, within a matter of weeks, you start seeing a reduction in emergency room visits for heart attacks and lung problems. And so the costs go down very, very quickly. But what's interesting is when you calculate how fast these costs go down, and it's very fast for things like smoking and also drinking, where things like drunk driving related accidents go down really, really quickly. The effects of sugar probably will take longer to be seen, because the health consequences of becoming overweight take longer to kind of manifest themselves. These aren't things that you can get diabetes in your 20s or 30s, but it's maybe not going to kill you until you start having complications in your 40s, 50s, 60s.
Right.
So there's going to be a longer time frame. And the other interesting thing about this, and this is kind of crazy, but if you look at the best estimates about what adding, say, 50 cents or a dollar per pack of cigarettes would do, is the government would recoup an awful lot of income for about 20 or 30 years. Then people would start to live longer and put some stress on the Social Security and Medicare systems. Because what happens is people who participate in these bad behaviors, a lot of them die in their 60s or early 70s, and so really never become a burden to Medicare and Social Security. You know, these people are not living to be 92 or 93.
Yeah, but I would argue that they're getting sicker earlier. I mean, look at the obesogenic nature of this country today. We know that this population of obese individuals are not as productive. They tax the workers' compensation system much more so.
Oh,
and on top of that, they're on meds from the time they're 30 years old. So
Well, I think two things, Carl. One is just because somebody might cause expenses when they're 90 years old is not a reason to ensure that they're healthy when they're younger. I agree with you about individuals being more costly in terms of absenteeism and so on and so forth. But I'm sure you've discussed in your program in the past, the other issue is presenteeism. I mean, people who are at work but not really at work.
Right. And that's what I also meant by their productivity.
Yeah, productivity, levels. And who's really there and able to get the work done, because, you know, they don't have sleep apnea, so they're getting a good night's sleep and they can come in and focus and participate. They're not worried about these chronic health problems. They're not chronically fatigued. They can bring some energy to the job and so forth. So, yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Dr. Michael Joyner, and his website is drmichaeljoyner.com. It's a fantastic website. I'm actually going to be perusing it during the break, and you should too. We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping.
shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometime pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Michael Joyner. We're talking about something that's affectionately known as syntaxes. During the break, I was thinking, Dr. Joyner, that I would have no problem with these taxes if either A, we could elect how they're distributed ahead of time, where, you know, percentage goes here, percentage goes there, and we stick to that. And governments aren't allowed to just do what they want with it. And B, if it was logically thought out that they would actually have a positive impact, like tobacco taxes, we do know that they have an impact immediately in the area, making tobacco more difficult to obtain, new smokers, fewer new smokers entering the habit, and so on. I'm not so convinced about sugar and definitely not so convinced about booze. And, you know, booze is another one because don't forget, we can all agree that too much sugar is a bad thing. But you've got all these scientific journals out there saying, you know, wine is good for this and wine is good for that. And right. I don't believe it. Personally, I say, look, I drink wine because I like the flavor and I appreciate the drug-like effects, but I'm not going to lie to myself and say that it's healthy. Living a life without alcohol is better than living a life with some alcohol.
Yeah, I think, you know, the alcohol data is relatively clear that a moderate drinking is
safe.
Not a problem.
It's safe.
Not a problem.
But it's
safe.
Not, but it's not healthier than not drinking.
Yeah, it would depend. You know, some people would argue that some of the antioxidants and so forth, but it's not vastly superior one way or the other. But I think, Carl, your point is well taken, is that how do you direct these taxes? Well, there's a couple of interesting things. Prior to Prohibition, a huge percentage of federal revenues, I think about a third, came from the alcohol tax. And one of the reasons the income tax was passed is the prohibitionists needed to pass it to have prohibition. The other interesting thing is that people realize that prohibition was a failure, and if all sorts of people were going to be drinking anyways, they might as well recoup the tax. And that was in the early 30s at the height of the Depression, when federal revenue had fallen. But I think your idea about making sure that the monies get shunted toward worthy causes or health related causes is a good one. One of the reasons I think people kind of support the gas tax is they know it goes to highways, and they know it goes to transportation.
Right.
And I think it's in a bit of a lockbox from my understanding. I'm not an expert on these types of things. So I think that is important. I think you can see, like I said, relatively quickly that changes in smoking laws or alcohol laws really do impact things like emergency room visits, driving fatalities, and so forth. It's going to be longer with food-related taxes. But already we're starting to see some data, for example, in the schools that have retained their physical education programs or added physical education have not seen the increase in childhood obesity. We've seen some evidence that schools that have restricted access to these products and vending machines and so forth have not seen the increases in body mass index in their students. And at least among lower socioeconomic status kids, how close the school is to like a convenience market where you can go and buy these products very cheaply.
Interesting.
Has some influence, appears to have some relationship to body mass index in the kids who go into those schools. It's less of a problem among well-off people because well-off people make sure that their kids are in tennis and swim team,
right,
and things like that.
Right.
And they watch what their kids eat at home and they monitor screen time and they do a lot of other things to ensure that their kids are having healthy behavior. So now we're almost seeing two tracks health-wise or health behavior-wise in the country. We're seeing educated, relatively well-off people who kind of follow the guidelines, make sure their kids follow the guidelines. And then we're seeing less educated people with less money who tend to do, one or more of the main kind of behaviors that are bad for your health: smoking, excessive drinking, eating too much, lack of physical activity, so forth.
And so anytime we talk about taxes, you can't help but get into the stratification of income levels in this country.
Right.
And the ability to pay. So
right.
Is this tough love? Is it like, well, you know what? The people who tend to be socioeconomically challenged, lower education, they tend to suffer from the negative effects of these high-risk behaviors more so. So by putting taxes on them, we're just barely putting them out of their reach or making them think twice before engaging in them.
I think that's part of it, Carl. But then as you pointed out and have asked several questions about or made several comments about, is if the money were directed toward programs to remediate these issues, it would be very helpful. You know, one of the arguments is it's hard to be physically active, for example, in a tough neighborhood. Who wants to go outside if it's dangerous?
Right.
You know, and if people who are well off lived in neighborhoods that were dangerous, they would tolerate that for about 10 minutes. And they'd be up in arms demanding that the politicians, you know, do something to make their neighborhood safe.
Right.
And I think one of the really unfair things here is that, you know, unsafe neighborhoods, these environments really wouldn't be tolerated by people with more education and more means.
Right.
And so it's one thing to try to make the world completely equal, which is you can't do, but it's another thing to try to make sure that people are being treated fairly and have equal access to a safe environment, equal access to a nice park, equal access to other things that are health improving. One of the things that has started, and you may have done a program on it, I don't know. Have you heard about these adult playgrounds?
No, I haven't.
There's kind of an adult playground movement in some of the urban areas where they've essentially gone and kind of taken the old park horse model and developed kind of very straightforward body weight exercise.
My son
equipment.
Was just telling me about, my son is working at a bicycle shop in Coronado, California,
yeah.
And across the street from the bicycle shop, he says they have
these bars that you could do push-ups on, you know, instead of putting your hands on the ground, and they have bars that you could do pull-ups on, and they have all this stuff where they're inviting people to come and do bodyweight stuff.
Right. And you know, some of these have been established in New York City in areas that are not the, you know, let's just put it this way, not Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
And people are starting to use them. And I think that there's a lot that can be done. One of the things we've done here in our local community, my wife and I have started a free physical education class, kind of old school circuit training calisthenics we do on Saturday mornings. We've had people from 7 or 8 years old all the way to about 70 show up. There's a super program in Lawrence, Kansas, called Red Dogs Dog Days, where they get literally hundreds of people per week going to these kind of free old school physical education workouts. They've had as many as 2,000 people at a workout. So this doesn't have to be complicated. And you know, spending more money on physical education for everybody, spending more money on parks and recreation for everybody, making our communities walking and biking friendly for everybody, this is where some of this, some of these resources could go. If you look in Scandinavia, in Denmark, or in Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, these are very bike-friendly communities. And why are they bike-friendly? Well, people realize that to put roads into these very, very old cities 30 years ago was impossible.
Right.
And so they made them kind of bike-friendly it was out of necessity, not out of desire. And what they found is that people who ride their bikes to work are much healthier, even if they smoke and do other crazy things.
In fact, I've inferred that whenever they look at this Mediterranean diet and the French,
right.
I say what you're forgetting is that they walk to and from the restaurant. They walk 130 miles a year more than the average American. They bike everywhere.
Right. Well, and there's some data out there showing that where if you look at how bike-friendly a community is, the more bike-friendly the community is and the more people riding their bike to work, the lower the rates of diabetes are in that community.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's due to the bike riding itself or just the fact that the bike riding is a marker of a kind of a physically active, friendly community is a separate issue. But I think all of these strategies could be funded with resources coming from sin taxes directed at sugary drinks, junk food, and so forth. And I think, you know, Mayor Bloomberg is a controversial character, but I think, you know, this is and this is a very pragmatic guy who's looking for solutions as opposed to just kind of waiting around for things to happen.
Well, and I you know what, I've actually come out and spoken against some of his approaches, but I've done it because I don't believe you can legislate health. If we've learned anything from our past, we know you cannot legislate health any more than you can legislate people to be moral.
Well, I think that's why maybe a tax versus a ban is a good way to go.
See,
and I think what we have to do is make the healthy choices easy and the less healthy choices more difficult.
And this is why I think tax would work. Again, the only caveat I have is that the money be used for what it's supposed to be used for.
Right.
And that's the only, because I do believe that taxes can import personal responsibility, kind of like come to full circle, the one we talked about. You know, bigger people with more luggage should pay more to fly in that airplane than one guy with the carry-on. And, you know, there's personal responsibility in your actions. And if we can say, look, because you are doing these things, you must pay more. And the money is going to be put over here because you're going to create a burden in these areas, and we're going to have money to cover that.
Cover that.
When you
and
do
I
that.
Think the other thing we talked about, too, is if we can, you know, get people when they're kids and teenagers and young adults and inculcate some of these better choices, it's going to pay big dividends down the road.
Yeah, no,
big
I agree. I can agree with it. Again, the only thing that, and I keep repeating it, but it's because in 9 years that I've been doing the show, government has let me down over and over and over again when profits were juxtaposed to people's health. And so I guess I want to be proven wrong. I'd love to see government go, you know what? We're going to take these tax dollars. We're going to only use it for this. And that's what we promise. And people audit it and go, wow, they really did it. Then I would go, okay, this is working. That's the only thing. But I can see why this could be beneficial, because those people who don't, you know, partake in those risky behaviors, they don't see any increase in expenditure.
Right, and it's a matter of choice, and like that Israeli example, you know, having a little bit of high quality alcohol is not going to hurt anybody, and staying away from the cheap wine is probably good for everybody.
Right, I agree. I agree 100%. Listen, great discussion. The website is Dr. Michael Joyner, joyner.com, and we're going to have you back on. You've got a lot of great stuff. This is really the kind of stuff we talk about. You know, I've had Aubrey de Grey on the show in the past, and you're talking about mitochondrial aging in a blog post today, and how exercise affects mitochondria health. These are all subjects, so we'll find other reasons to have you on the show, I promise you.
All right, look forward to it.
All right, take care, Michael.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, I got a little something to talk about that you're going to want to listen to. We'll be right back.
Dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Ow, ow, gow. Rick James. He would have been a superhuman. Nah, I don't think so. Anyway. Okay, so everybody agreed that we need a bumper sticker, and we've got one. It's being produced right now. It is a vinyl decal. Designed to be removed easily. So it will not leave glue on your car or tear your paint or ruin your car, anything like that. You can put it on a windshield. You can put it on the car, your bumper, wherever you want. It's going to be 3 inches by 10 inches. And it's simply going to say, Super Human Radio Podcast, Live Longer, Live Stronger, Live Longer. And it has a QR code on it. So a well-meaning, inquisitive person can take their smartphone, scan the QR code, and be transported to the website, and then maybe bookmark it. We are not going to charge anything for the decal, or as many decals as you want. Give them to your friends. We're still trying to figure out how to ship them, because U.S. postage is 46 cents now so for a number 10 envelope. I could dump probably 5 or 6 decals in there and mail it out for 46 cents. But if we end up shipping thousands and thousands of these decals, which I suspect will happen over time, obviously the cost is going to be very, very exorbitant thanks to the U.S. Post Office, which I have no problem with because the Post Office does a great job at a very inexpensive price. So, the question, I guess, is multifold. First of all, would you pay for postage if we ship it to you for free, the decal for free? And if not, then we're going to have to do bulk postage, which means that we're probably going to have large numbers of people request decals and then ship them all out, like at the end of the month or something like that. All these logistics to play into. But we are going to give the decals away for free. We're just figuring out how to get them to people, that's all. If you have any suggestions, because I know people in our audience work for the post office, maybe you can make a suggestion on how we can handle this effectively, cost effectively, and expeditiously so we can get these decals out to people as quickly as possible. But yes, we have it, and I think you're going to like it. It's very plain, very simple, but gets the message across, and we should have them, I would imagine, sometime next week. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. And, of course, thank you for listening to the show today. And we have tomorrow we have the Subversity Science Roundup and roundtable discussion on strength and hypertrophy. So tomorrow's show should be really, really good. And then, of course, on Saturday, Friday, we'll have Casual Friday with Elisa Profumo. Thank you for listening and see you then.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.